Welcome back in, everybody. Golf Talk Radio with Mike and Billy. In the second hour here, I have Jay Ferrier, PGA Head Professional from the Avila Beach Golf Resort, joining us in studio. You can check out Avila Beach Golf Resort online at avilabeachresort.com. Need to thank another partner of ours. It's Golf Tournament in a Box. If you guys are looking for a company that can help raise the bar of your event, golf tournament event experience, Golf Tournament in a Box are the people that can do it. They have over 50 years of event experience. And they'll help you design your tournament signage, create sponsorships, and documents that will make your sponsors want to be more involved in your event, which will make your participants happy and keep the tournament growing year after year. It's Golf Tournament in a Box. Call them at 855-EASY-4-GOLF today or golftournamentinabox.com.
I'm always in awe of how well you do that stuff. I'm being serious. You're just good at it.
You know, I've seen it over the years, and this guy's a pro. Not only a pro golfer, but he's a pro radio.
There's no question that he's a pro.
He's got it down.
You know, so jeez, man, I'm blushing.
Way to go.
You know, I don't know how I crossed the two.
Don't either.
You wear many a hat.
Yes.
Joining us again, Jay Ferrier. Anybody in this local area here in the Central Coast of California is pretty much aware of the Avila Beach Golf Resort. It's the location is one of the prettiest places literally on the planet. I was honored to be a part of that. Still kind of am, I guess.
I never
officially
always
left there,
no,
but never. But I worked there a long time and I loved it. It was, you know, even if I was having a bad day, I remember getting in a golf cart and taking about a 2-minute ride and stopping and looking around, and all my troubles seemed to go away.
Then go pick some poison oak.
Come on, leave me alone. Happened once, it only happened. You know, if I did it twice, I could see the story.
I think you did.
You should see. No,
I think that bush is still there.
I have never went near those bushes again, man. So I went home and studied what that stuff looked like.
I'm sure of that.
I have a picture of that on my cart right now. But anyways, so Jay's been there forever. What's happening? Avila, well, let's talk about the industry first.
Sure.
Avila's always, it's a location, but it's much more than a golf resort. It's an event area.
Yes.
But golf industry currently, you've been around to see, when you first came in, it was booming, and then you got to ride the roller coaster a little bit. Where do you see it today? How do you feel like it?
In recovery. I truly believe. I think that we've pretty much hit bottom, maybe in the last year or two. Weather has been very cooperative this year. I think any golf course that's been able to maintain themselves and been able to keep a level of golf that people enjoy, I think should be doing fairly well this year.
Okay, so you see, it's kind of like the market, or so you feel like the recession's kind of gone, and we're
starting. I think it's still here, but I think
I mean economically,
happened,
I'm talking about golf. I'm just trying to compare the two.
True. What I see, at least at Avila, is that people have, for the most part, they cut way back last 2 or 3 years on their expendable income, and it seems as though that they've put together budgets, they've figured out a way to get out here and play golf, and we've changed as well as an industry. We've brought in all different kinds of programs that fit all different price points and been able to get the golfers back out there.
I agree 100%.
A few weeks ago, our hot topic was what is a round of golf worth? I mean, it was a topic we sent out to everybody, and what are you willing to pay? Not the bucket list courses, obviously, like Pebble or...
They can charge you anything you want.
But the average round of play, and we, you know, everybody came up, and it was between, what, a $40 and $60 range.
$40 to $50 range.
And so, and it's your resort where you are. You know, one of the blessings of being a resort facility is people come to the area, then they go away.
Right.
And so you have the influx of tourists.
Literally on the weekend, a town moves in to a town.
They're exactly right. You know, I was telling about back east, we used to have, you know, after Memorial Day, the whole New York City moved to the Berkshires.
Yeah.
You know, so I understand that. So it's a busy golf course. It's a beautiful golf course.
Yes, it is.
So what about, you know, what else besides golf? Tell us about Avila. How would you describe it on an elevator conversation? I see you from Avila Beach Golf Resort. What do you do there, and what is your resort like? What is your elevator conversation?
Okay. Well, obviously, the first thing is golf, and I believe that our golf course, at least at this point in time, is probably one of the better golf courses in the area. Superintendent's just done it. Ronnie Siski has done an awesome job out there. for those of you that haven't been out to Avila for the last 2 or 3 years, you ought to come revisit it. It's never been in better shape.
That's fantastic.
But other than that, we have a great restaurant, brought back Mulligan's. Mulligan's is back there. We've got the signage up and everything else. So,
which is only ironic that you would bring back a Mulligan. They got a Mulligan on a Mulligan.
We got a Mulligan on a Mulligan.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Mulligan's was a staple for so many years out there. And so we're slowly but surely getting that clientele back. So they got a place to eat and a place to hang out after the round, or just come down for lunch. We also have a great location, as you said, Billy. So we've got lots of other events going on. Weddings practically from April on, it seems like, through October. I mean, there's a wedding, seems like, every weekend.
Is it fair to say that it's an event location? Because obviously, you know, the weddings, that's just, you know, the backdrop is, there's nothing better.
Yeah.
But you also, because of that, I know you've been known for the concerts and the
most
shows.
Yeah.
And I know there's something happening last night was a gig?
The Cataracts there last night, for the younger crowd.
And this is Memorial Weekend. Is there concerts going on?
It's going nuts.
Is it?
Today we've got, believe it or not, the beer festival is not out there, but we have this, we replaced it with a tequila festival.
Oh, jeez. Just a
quicker way to get to...
Wow, it's a much shorter event.
Much shorter end game. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Oh, man.
There will be three EMTs to every person.
Minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It's very quick. I don't know about you, but I've never tasted tequila in my life.
I love tequila.
Yeah, they're the tiny little
shots.
They're
eighth of a shot.
Yeah,
but I want to put the record straight. I love tequila. I just don't drink it.
I don't.
Very rarely.
Yeah, and well,
and
they're going to be drinking.
If you guys ever see me drinking again, stop me, because it's one of those things. I do like tequila. I like the lime and the salt and the whole thing, but I don't. It changes my personality, which is maybe that's a good thing, but
that's the big draw today. But they also will have some bands as well, so you can go there actually and don't have to do the tequila thing, but you can get in there and have bands.
Last time I had tequila was in Mazatlan, and I got run over by a horse on the beach. And that was the last
on the
time.
Beach.
Oh, yeah.
On the beach. What are you doing in the way, man? You should have got out of the way.
Down in Mazatlan, there's five people on the beach. So how did you run over by
a horse? Tequila.
Why is there a horse running down
because
the public
beach? Because it's a beach.
I don't know.
It's romantic.
But it's in front of a bar.
You should go out the back door next time, dude.
Oh, anyway, so we've got that going on today. And then tomorrow, for all of us that do remember, we got Taj Mahal, we've got Tower of Power, and the Doobie Brothers, who I grew up with. So that's going
to
be
really awesome. We used to put pro shops out there, remember? And stuff?
Yeah.
Do you still have a little, you know, are you doing the golf shop
thing? No, we're not doing. But we do, we've got it. It used to be screened off, so you couldn't even get into the pro shop. Now they've opened it up, so that pretty much the facility is open to the
concert. Yeah, it used to feel... really gated, almost like a cattle farm.
Exactly.
But now it's just kind of
it is. The population is aging, so it was probably gated off last night. But for the tequila festival, as well as the beer thing, or not but the Doobie Brothers deal, it'll be open.
Well, so every day is different there, huh? I mean, that's
every day.
I loved about it, and I still love about it is every day I went to work at Avila, it was a different day, and as you know, Mike, and it just was. It was so much going on. You walk out the pro shop, there's 10,000 people out there, and there's a legend playing music, and you're out there going, "How cool is that?" You know,
I've got some just great memories.
Johnny Lang and stuff.
That's the first one that comes to my mind.
Tell you, man,
we saw him when he was like 12.
Yeah, he was like 12, man.
Speaking of last times, that was probably the last time I think that we did the pro shop.
Yeah,
we did it out on the hunting green.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there with my video camera videotaping Johnny Lang, of course not supposed to be, but I got 22 minutes of him.
At
Avila.
It's
awesome.
YouTube.
So you must be proud of you're still doing what you're doing, and in this industry, to hang out in this industry, as you know, you got to wear many hats, and you have to. As we're all PGA professionals, and you know that. So your golf, I know you came over as an instructor. I know it's really your passion. Or at least I don't want to put words
definitely.
In your mouth.
No, it is.
But knowing you, I think it is. How is your instruction program? And just for a minute or two before we jump into our hot topic, let the callers call in. How is your instruction program? What do you got to offer, and how people can find you?
We've just about everything from private lessons all the way through real fun clinics like Links and Drinks, which I'll tell you about. We actually have it today.
Is it a tequila show today?
They might have a little tequila.
It should be.
Yeah, for sure.
But I did that when I used to do the classes there. I had a tequila night. I didn't go too well.
And Billy, I mean, you're my mentor. You're the guy that kind of got me into the teaching deal. So you know exactly what I got out there. What you got to do is you've got to create some interest.
Absolutely.
And the way you create interest, you got to have some icebreakers. Whether it's a short game clinic, whether it's a full swing clinic, or just getting some beginners out on the golf course, I try to incorporate all of that into a program called Links and Drinks. I do it twice a week, Thursday afternoons and Saturday at 1, and get a bunch of gals and a couple of guys show up, and we get them out there, give them a little drink ticket. They get their tequila or their beverage of choice.
Sure.
And then they we head up, do a little instruction, either a short game or full swing, get them out on the golf course, and at a time when there's not a lot of traffic. So it's a way to get them past that. I don't know what to do.
It's a great idea, Jay, and anybody listening should really take up, because there's a lot of people who are nervous about starting. Right. You know, their friends are playing, but for some reason they're just, I don't want to fail. I'm just too nervous. I'm too embarrassed. And truly, the icebreaker is what you
got to have it. Got to have
it. If you make them comfortable to begin with, and it's fun, then you've got them hooked, and that's the best way to get started. Bring a buddy.
Bring a buddy. These gals will bring foursomes.
Bring a group of girls, and just, you know, remember Mike and I, we used to teach bunch of groups of girls. They come as groups of girls, but they would, at least they did it together experience, and a few of them might continue. So, but congratulations to you, and you're teaching a lot.
Teaching, well, as you know, we're wearing many hats, as you said.
Yes, we are.
The teaching, to answer your question, not enough.
But
are
you still doing the hotel?
Still doing the hotel group that we set up many years ago.
Awesome. How do they find you, Jay? What's the best way to find you?
Way, probably, to give us a call at the shop, and that's same area code, obviously, 805-595-4000, and hit extension 1 for the golf shop, and they'll get a hold of me. Otherwise, AvilaBeachResort.com.
Remember, my extension was 502, and I always thought, isn't that the charge of the drunk driving charge?
Something like that.
And I always thought, how come I'm the 502?
He figured it out, Jay.
Yes, he finally,
figured out what we were doing.
Why did he give me that? You're number 2, you were 3, and everybody's 4 or 5.
You're 502. What was your first clue? You had 3 digits, or?
I don't know. I was drunk trying to figure it out.
Hey, Jay, we've got a couple people that want to know your 5K and 10K times.
5K. Didn't run many 5Ks, but I was right at about 30 flat in 10K.
And what about your Ironman? Did you do Ironman?
Never did Ironman.
But what's the other one I'm thinking of?
Olympic distance.
Yes.
That's basically what I did mostly. I did a couple of Ironman distances, but never the Ironman over in Hawaii.
But what's the one that you combine the three? What's that?
That's it, triathlon.
Oh, so you've done a lot of those. Yeah. Is that what they meant?
The Ironman is a triathlon, distances.
10K is just a straight run.
10K is a straight run.
So do you have good
We'll catch you up on all this later.
But weren't you like really great in cycling? Weren't you?
Cycling,
top level cycler?
Well, pretty close. Yeah, Cat 2. Yeah.
Henry says 30 is outstanding.
Cat 2.
Cat 2, exactly. Yeah. That's what I thought.
I play the Cat 2 wedges nowadays.
Cat 2 wedges.
Are we going to take a break, come back with Hot Topic?
We can start it, actually. We've got another probably 10 minutes or so before we do our next break.
I think this is going to be a great topic. The numbers here are 805-595-3776. We are really looking for people who are taking golf instruction from their pros. You don't need to mention names. Probably prefer you didn't, unless it's amazing. And then, of course, go ahead and pump your pro. But or people who don't believe in lessons. We're kind of looking at both sides of this. Our topic is today golf instruction. Is there too much? Is there too little? Are people getting a paralysis by analysis? Are we giving too much information? Is it worthy? I mean, the thing about lessons, it's all volunteer. So, you know, we don't force anybody to take lessons. So should you play first, learn later, or learn first, play later? So these are the topics we like to talk about. You've got 3 PGA professionals that all teach here. So 805-595-3776. And we'll start with you, Jay.
Yes.
Golf instruction.
Yeah.
You know, so you're a teacher. What brought it up was, what I thought about this some comments were made on Golf Channel about Tiger and his troubles, and is he getting too much information? Obviously it's easy to second guess now, but should he have stayed with his first instructor? Should he just keep playing? Is he getting too much input? What did you thought about too much lessons? Is it happening on the tour?
Yeah, I think that tour players, I really don't know what's going through their head. You've got guys, Bubba Watson all the way to Tiger Woods. Bubba, I don't think, has taken a lesson in his life, never will, and shouldn't. period. Then you got people like Tiger Woods that, you know, I mean, he lives, I don't say lives with his instructor, but he...
Yeah, don't start another rumor.
No,
man.
I'm not going to do that. I'm not definitely not going to do that. But he has made it very, very public that that he is, you know, changing instructors every five years.
Your feeling? As a teacher, do the average student, do they start with instruction? Do golf pros in general, not yourself, let's take you out of this, take the three of us out of this conversation as far as teachers. Do instructors give too much information, not enough? Should people play golf first? What do you think?
I think they should play golf. I think they should get a golf ball, throw it down on the ground, and have fun. It's got to be fun. Now, if they want to take it a little bit more serious and they are struggling with the game, seek help. You know, come to us, not necessarily me, but come to somebody. And get some fundamentals.
Because, you know, it's funny you say that, and I happen to agree with you, but a lot of people believe, boy, I need to learn how to hit it first because I don't want to embarrass myself out there in the golf course. So I need to know how to get it airborne, and I need lessons before I play. I disagree. I think people should play first. And that's one of the first tee philosophies is we get our kids playing first, and then when they get curious enough to want to do better, and hopefully we get that curiosity going, that they will seek... and ask for help to increase a skill.
Sure.
But a lot of people don't play golf now first because some of the courses are way too hard, which was another hot topic. Should we make our courses? You play it forward and stuff, as you know. So if you start from a front tee or you play a little golf course, I personally believe there's a ball, there's a hole, like you said, make it happen, finish.
Yeah.
And then as you experiment with that, people know how to swipe at it. They're going to miss. They're going to figure out how not to miss after a few swipes. You know, it's funny with little kids, they swipe, and you want to jump in there and help them. But if you give them a couple more swipes, bang.
Yes.
They got it. Bang. Yes. Same thing, you know, what happened with not so young people.
Sure.
So chase it, finish. This is my belief. And then if you like it and you want to do better, that's when you seek help.
Well, why should it be any different than when we were growing up through grade school playing kickball, baseball.
Basketball,
whatever. I don't remember getting instruction to do those.
How to dribble and how to arc it. No, you just,
it was survival.
It was survival. It was survival.
Yeah, and you learned.
So you just learned how to do it.
I was going to agree with you guys. Growing up, every day after school, from as long far back as I can remember, we always played sports. And we played either organized sports or we played just getting a group of friends together. And most of the time it was just getting a group of friends together, and that's how we became better. And
we developed
our hand-eye coordination. We fed off each other.
Yeah, Jimmy's got it going on. I'm going to
follow
that.
And everybody had a strength. Whether we were playing football, whether we were playing baseball, we were playing basketball. Like for myself, basketball, I was not a guy who sat on the 3-point arc shooting, you know, long jump shots.
Neither was I.
Yeah, but I could.
Can't even throw it.
I could rebound, and from like 10 feet in, I was pretty decent. So when we built our teams together, and we always had the same group of 15, 16 guys, like right after school, right after junior high, right after high school, bam, we would go play, and you know that. With golf, for me, that's how I learned. We would go play Deep Cliff Golf Course, which was a little 18-hole executive. Mm-hmm. Never had lessons. Yeah. I had friends that took lessons. I didn't have a golf lesson probably until I was about 19 or 20.
Well, wow. What about this? If there's no course available for people to play, or if they're too difficult to play, for example, if you had to start on 10 at Avila, that was your very first golf experience, no lessons, here's a ball, go play 10. They could empty a bucket of balls in that thing because they might not be able to.
Right.
I'm not picking on Avila. I'm just picking on if there's too.
That's just an example.
Example.
Yeah.
But so a lot of people learn they hit balls first. They go to a range. They go to a putting green. Not often enough do they go to the putting green, but they go to the driving range. So they're not playing golf. They're practicing, right? And that's when they start taking lessons. And that's when the husband or the wife will tell you, no, keep your head down, bend your knees. No, you got to do this. No. And you hear all this. Inside, and you know, this instruction from the non-professional, and so they're getting overwhelmed. But there's not an opportunity to play. When I was a kid, I had opportunity. When you were a kid, you had opportunity. I'm assuming to play, but
sure.
But and we try really hard with first tee to give them an opportunity. But what about the people that are beginning? It's just range, the range person. That's all they got. Do they just hit balls, or do they get a lesson?
Wow.
Another factor in that I'm finding now that I'm teaching more. The amount of information available on the internet and the amount of information people are taking in is so much. It doesn't even have to do with technically a golf instructor giving them information that I don't think people are the people that are playing the game. understand what it takes to implement a new muscle memory in a golf swing. So I have a couple of students right now. I mean, we do a lesson, and a week later I see the guy, and he's already viewed 7 or 8 YouTube videos, and he's trying 7 or 8 different things. Well, and it's not even by a golf instructor. It's technically his own doing.
Sure. There's input. Input's one thing.
And it's
input's
so much
stimulating
input.
The brain. It's input, but then there's applying. Applying is physically being able to apply the input. And the result, obviously, is to get a ball to do what you want it to do. Golf is basically being able to hit a ball where you want it.
I believe that's what golf is, if someone is just on a driving range, then and they want to get better, they should probably have a lesson. Because I do think that there's a difference. The other thing you guys probably see, the transition from the driving range to playing for people is one of the most difficult things in the world.
And I think it's because they practice. There's range before play.
Yes, I agree.
If it was play before range, it would be a seamless kind of thing.
And how did the tour players do it, Billy? They don't, most of them do the... They playing before they go to the range.
They absolutely play, and then they analyze their weakness and make weaknesses strengths.
Exactly.
And it's an ongoing, obviously.
And
cycle.
You're right. Most of us do the opposite.
Yeah,
most of us try to take our range to the to the course rather than the other way.
I know we got a phone call, but we need to take a break. Yep. Our hot topic today is golf instruction. I can tell you right now, the most expensive golf lesson right now is Mitchell Spearman. He's one of the top 100. He charges $500 per hour. Butch Harmon $350 per hour. Hank Haney $250 per hour. The average lesson is $50. The average lesson.
So, I better up my lesson.
Well, I'm 75. But, you know, it's what you can get. But anyways, you know, our people, is it worth that? And is it worth it? Hey, but I think you're right. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue this. And please call 805-595-3776. We love if you're taking lessons. We want to know what your experience is like, good or bad. And if you don't take lessons, why? And what do you guys believe in? We'll be right back. Golf Talk Radio's Mike and Billy on ESPN and the Golf Talk Networks. Don't go away.
Hello, this is Johnny Carson, and you're listening to Golf Talk Radio with Mike and Billy. You know, the closest these two guys have come to par was watching The Tonight Show back in the 60s before me. Hey-o! I bet you did not know that.
Margaret!
Welcome back in, everybody. Golf Talk Radio with Mike and Billy. Need to thank a partner of ours. It's Dave Schimandl and Slick Sticks. Dave is your key to better golf, along with Slick Sticks, clubs, grips, repairs, regripping, adjusting loft, and lies. Dave Schimandl and Slick Sticks are the winning combination. You will be with Billy and I up at the Lynx golf course in Paso Robles next Saturday, June 2nd, from 11:30 to 3:30. Right on the driving range, we'll be regripping clubs. We'll have a launch monitor there. All our Adams Golf demos. We're also going to be doing free golf clinics at 11:30 and 12:30. Call us at 805-431-7615 for more info, or the Lynx Golf Course at 805-227-4567. So hopefully we'll see you guys there next week.
And joining us in studio is Jay Farrier. He's the PGA Head Professional and Director of Instruction out at Avalon Beach Golf Resort. And our topic was golf instruction. And during the break, we kind of rephrased this, and kind of what brought, this was kind of a hot topic on Facebook. There's a golf instructor's site there, and the topic was about Harvey Penick and the 78-year-old man, and don't quote my facts in this, because I'm just kind of paraphrasing what I read, but this gentleman that was a really good player, shot his age all the time, his dream was to meet Harvey Penick in the time, and went to take a lesson, and Harvey Penick walked up and watched him hit a few shots, hit a couple more. And the guy said, Ben, you're just, you know, Penick said to him, you're just so good. You're 1% of all golfers. You don't need any help, and walked away. Mm. And so he did get, you know, did Harvey Penick say enough? You know, kind of busted this guy's bubble. You know, that was the gist of it. And, it, you know, I think, because I don't know that if the opinion of the 78-year-old man was actually shared. But it brought up a huge topic. What do you want from a golf instructor? Is too little? Is too much too much? Do we say too much? You know, I know some teachers that just they remember the teacher book we used to get PGA teachers.
Man.
We would go through all the laws and preferences and see you later. So, but if you say little, is it beneficial? Hey, I'm paying money here, man. I mean, you know, I'm on average, you're paying $50 to $70 here on average. So, should we be talking the whole time? What, you know, how much do you say, Jay, or you, Mike, and how much do you ask the student? You know, actually, let me rephrase that. What does the student want? And I'd like to hear some people call. I think we should give a prize. We have a prize we can offer you. I'll give a free lesson.
Yeah. I will, too.
It's kind of funny.
Well, you know, I've actually learned, at least for myself, that, again, now that I'm teaching more, and I did this even when I was still at Avalon Black Lake, but a new student that I don't know, I always take the time to interview him for 15 to 20 minutes.
I know, and you always do. Let me just give the numbers real quick.
You're good at that.
805-595-3776. If you want a free lesson from, you can pick one of the pros here.
Yeah, definitely.
But I would like to know what you expect when you pay your fee. And Mike, I've always known you. You've always been the doctor with a clipboard, and I do it. You know, my clipboard's kind of in my mind, and sometimes it's very accurate, and other times, you know, I'm searching for the file. But you all, you know, that interview is important. And I gave a lesson the other day at Blacklake, and someone overheard and he says, wow, you really kind of asked that person a lot of questions before you started. And I think we, as instructors, we need to know going in, because you can't assume, right?
Well, and
you can't assume what they want.
You know, I think back to, we were talking about PGA and the school and whatnot in the book. And, you know, the book has its, the teaching, PGA professional teaching book has its purpose. But I think one of the things, I don't know, maybe it was just me and I don't remember it, but I can remember doing my first couple of lessons even before I was PGA Club Pro and I was going through as an apprentice. And there's one guy I remember doing a lesson with, and I didn't ask him if he had any injuries.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't share anything. He didn't. It's not his fault.
So you're tweaking his back the whole time.
Well, and I'm sitting there thinking, why can't this guy get, why can't he finish his swing?
Maybe they were, so, when you're standing on one leg, that should have been the first clue.
Yeah. You know, and then
and the spine, you know, the rod up and down his spine and the crutches should have given you a clue.
You know, I remember, and again, it was a learning experience, but I remember later he tells me, I had my left knee was replaced, you know, and it was tough. Not strong enough. Well, and it was just something that I thought to myself, you know what, I need to do a better job of finding out what the student's history is, but more importantly, what is their goal? And then when I ask them about their goal, I say, kind of like your elevator speech, I say, give me one word of what you want to get out of this lesson. Yep.
You know,
just
one
word.
One thing that I did pull out of that PGA teaching manual that's all 895 pages long, is that people learn differently. And there's basically three ways you can communicate this lesson to them. Verbally, exactly. So, you know, you've got the kinetic, you have visual, audio. Yeah. So you've got to, I think, through that interview process that Mike goes through, you figure it out pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And so the instructors that don't say much, and possibly the instructor that you took, Billy, that one lesson that we talked about, he just assumed that you were a kinetic leader.
He must have assumed because, and I am, you know, it's funny you say that because I'm so visual and he was behind me.
Yeah.
And I can tell you what a golf lesson isn't worth, a phone call. See, a phone call is, we are definitely not worth a phone call because no one's called. 595-3776. So we know a lesson isn't worth a phone call. So now it puts a new value on us.
Yes.
But I'm very curious about people who take lessons. So please call. Share your opinion. And we're not gonna zap you. We'd just like to know your opinion. Jay was talking. I took a lesson.
You got the phones fired up now.
I took a lesson from one of the finest instructors known in the world, and his name was Bob Toski. And I knew his brother, Tom, from Amherst, Massachusetts, when I was there. And we were friends, and we played in the local tournaments together. And he set me up with his brother, which was cool. He was in town. So I went down the driving range, and Bob was sitting in a cart. But I walked up to the range, and there was balls near the cart. And I'm a left-hander, so when I went to the pile of golf balls, he was behind me in a cart. Hmm. Not in front of me, but if I was a righty, he would have been looking at me.
Right.
So he didn't get, never got out of the cart, but he never moved the cart to the front of me either.
Did he compliment you on your slacks?
I was wearing about powder blue sans belts, man. It was looking good.
White belt?
Yeah, white belt. White
angel white.
And a yellow shirt, dude.
Nice.
And a bright yellow shirt.
Woo,
he never said much, but I couldn't see him, and there was no eye contact, and, you know, and what are you wanting from this? And I felt like it was a dream, and I couldn't see. But, you know, do you have a key in that cart? This is what I'm thinking. Is there a key? You turn it on, and you push forward, you drive around over here. So
you're probably thinking he's going to snap you in the back of the head when you did something wrong, huh?
Or you start hearing him snoring.
Am I bothering you? I mean, I felt like saying there's no carts on the range, man. That's what I felt like saying. But let's go to Dave, and we'll go for Dave and Paso, and we'll go to Ryan. So I'm going to put them both on. Is that
all right? All right. Perfect.
So Dave from Paso, welcome. And Ryan, you're on the line too. So let's start with Dave. You there?
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for calling.
Oh, yeah, I didn't want you guys to feel bad.
Well, yeah, we're starting to feel bad here. what's a lesson worth? Nothing. That's what I'm thinking. But
actually, I've been looking to take a lesson since I moved up here from Long Beach, and I figured, okay, I'll take a free one if I can win one.
Well, you got one coming, and you don't have to say it online, but you can email us and tell us which one you want, and we'll make sure it happens. We'll get your certificate. So tell us, are you a lesson taker?
I have taken lessons off and on throughout my approximate 10 years of golfing.
Okay, yes. And do you mind if I ask roughly what you paid? I mean, is ballpark?
Yeah, around $40.
Okay, and was it worth it?
Absolutely, every single time.
Wow, good. Hey, yeah. there's a point. Bing! There's a point.
Yeah, really.
So what do you expect from one? Seriously, when you go to get a lesson and you showed up for one of the three of us, what would you, you know, you don't have to, you know, in your mind, what are you expecting?
I expect for them to take, a personal interest in, you know, what I'm doing, what I can do, what they see that I can physically do or what I'm doing wrong, and not just, you know, go through their, you know, a standard robotic type, let's start with this or whatever.
Yeah.
Based on probably an interview of some sort.
Awesome. Ryan, are you there?
Yeah.
And what about you, Ryan? Are you a lesson taker?
You know, I've never taken a lesson before in my life.
And are you calling on behalf of the non-lesson takers? Which is okay. Okay, so tell us, can we, you know, and Ryan, Dave, feel free to chime in when you want to. But Ryan, tell us why you do not take lessons, which, of course, we're okay with, except for you're wrong. I'm just kidding. Ryan, I'm kidding, dude. I am totally kidding. Go ahead, Ryan. Why have you not?
You know, I just never felt that I really needed to. I've always progressively gotten better as I play golf. And I'm 31 now, and I'm actually to the point. That's the other reason I'm calling in is because I feel like I've reached the kind of the pinnacle that I can get to in my golf game, and I need some kind of assistance.
So you're turning towards the curve. You're coming towards the light. Is that?
I am. Oh, well, I feel like I need it.
He wants that step to the next level.
Yeah, that step.
So Ryan, up to this point, how have you gotten to the point where you're at with your game right now? Like, how are you getting your information, or are you just playing?
A lot of playing. I go to the range. I try and put in my time, and and you know, I got like, you know, the golf magazine and that type of stuff. I watch a lot of golf on TV, so
I'm sorry.
I feel like I can see it and kind of I'm good at seeing doing what I see. But to a degree, you know, I'm at a point now. I feel like I just need some guidance.
Do you mind if could you share with us what's your scores on average?
My handicap. I'm a single digit. I got down to about a 9.
Wow.
And Dave, now, hold on, Ryan. Dave, you? How do you play?
I'm a 17 handicap. Okay, at good. Ranch.
So you're at Hunter Ranch, one of my favorite golf courses ever, by the way, Dave. Ryan, you got to single digits on your own. You feel like you reached a plateau. So you must self-analyze your game a lot. What if you went to get a lesson? What would you want from that pro? What would what would you tell the professional that you're looking for?
I'm just looking at anything that will, you know, like exercises that will help me build towards, you know, better consistency, I think.
Okay, well, you know, we hear this a lot. You ever hear that, Jay? They want to be more?
Yeah, most definitely. Mike?
Most consistent.
But don't take this wrong, Ryan, but you can be consistently bad.
Yeah,
so being consistent doesn't mean being consistently, hit it well. When we hear that, I want to be more consistent, I always think to myself, well, that could be easy. But so what's your weakness, if you don't mind saying on the radio, what's the weakness of your game?
I think it's exactly that, is that I know I have bad habits, but correcting them and having someone just point out what they are, that's what I really need.
Is it more short game or just, or full swing or both?
I think it's kind of a, how golf is, right? When you get your driver dialed in, your short game seems to go.
And Dave,
and vice versa.
Dave, what about you? What's your strengths, Dave? Or what is your strengths? What's your weakness?
I drive the ball well. Now I'm 50 years old. I can hit it over 250 pretty straight. But my short game stinks.
Okay. So you would want, if you went to take a lesson, you'd hope that there would be a short game lesson, huh?
Probably so.
Dave, I'm one of the best short game teachers in the world. You and I are going to hook up, okay?
All right.
I say that with confidence because I think I am. So, you and I, Dave, when you email Mike to, because Mike's the boss, if you email him, say, I'd like a lesson from Billy, if you don't mind, unless, of course, you want one of these other two guys, but I will help you.
Let's do it, Billy. That's great.
So we'll have fun together. So what would you pay, Ryan? You know the average price. What would you pay for a lesson, Ryan?
I would say anywhere from $50-$75.
Okay, and you, Dave? You don't have to, you guys. Neither one of you have to pay. But what would you pay, Dave?
$40, $50.
Okay, that's about the ballpark. Yeah.
I got to ask Dave, the lessons you have taken, what have you done after you've taken, like, let's say your last lesson, what if the instructor gave you a drill, how long have you stuck with that particular drill?
Well, believe it or not, I took a lesson right before I moved up here 4 years ago, and the main gist of the lesson was shorten the backswing and make sure I follow through in balance, and that has stuck with me. and it's really made me a better ball striker. And that's what I try to do. That's my swing thought.
Interesting.
Very cool. And you know, awesome. They do their combined thought. If you follow through well, you will balance.
There you go.
So they kind of go together. Yeah. You can't not follow. You know, if you don't follow through, you can't balance. So it
makes sense.
Yeah.
What do you guys
need to do? Email you then?
If
you guys go to golftalkradio.com, right on the homepage, there's a green square, trivia square with a golf ball on it.
Okay.
And both you guys just fill out that information, and then we'll send you gift certificates, or we'll forward your information to Billy or whomever you want to do the lesson with, and we'll get in touch with you guys.
Very cool.
Dave and Ryan, thank you for your time. We appreciate your thoughts. Look forward to meeting
you. Thanks for the lesson.
All right, you bet. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. You know, what's interesting about that, Billy, is that both of them, I mean, the consistency was the issue, but both of them wanted instruction. So
yeah, you know, that's the thing about lessons. It's all voluntary.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't, you know, that's what I mean. So people come to get it because they want it. I think what we deliver is the key.
Right.
And I think that's why there are great instructors, and then there's a dime a dozen instructors. So what do they need out of that lesson? I think it's a partnership before you start.
Yeah.
You're interviewing, but they should interview you as well.
Most definitely. And I think it's an instructor's responsibility, and I think maybe that was Toski's idea of standing behind you. Is it
sitting
behind you. Me. But I also that story I was talking about during one of the breaks about Penick and Crenshaw and Kite. Great, great athletes, both of them. And when he was instructing them down in Texas, he had Crenshaw go out and play and gave him very little instruction. And Kite he had on the range all the time. So I think as an instructor, you've got to make that determination. Is this kid need, or is this guy?
And how
need
do
it?
They learn? What's the benefit? You can say Crenshaw, free flowing, plays it, great trouble shot player because he's playing.
Yeah.
And Kite was a mechanic, man. He was a mechanic.
Most definitely.
And you can see how that molded their game. And Penick must have seen that.
Oh, most definitely. And Bubba Watson. I mean, would you ever give that guy one iota of instruction? I mean, that kid flat knows where that head is.
And what's even neater is that he would never teach that. Even with couples said, don't emulate my swing. Don't teach my swing. It's my golf swing. Yeah. It was unusual at the time. And it's really technically sound.
Right.
Bubba, it's just what it is.
I
think it's just getting the ball from point A to point B well.
Right.
Really well.
I agree 100%. We're going to take our last break of the show. Need to thank another partner of ours. It's the Mike Bender Golf Academy in Lake Mary, Florida. Check out his latest state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment and training methods, as well as the Bender Stick, which you can see online at benderstick.com. It's STIK.com or mikebender.com. Give him a call at 407-321-0444. Again, our hot topic right now, golf instruction. What do you think it's worth? Do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad? Give us a call at 805-595-3776 now. We're going to take our last break, and we'll come back with more of the hot topic right here on Golf Talk Radio with Mike and Billy on ESPN Radio, The Ticket. We'll be right back.
We're back to Golf Talk Radio with Mike and Billy.
Welcome back in, everybody. Golf Talk Radio with Mike and Billy. Another partner of ours, it's Bronstein Concierge. If you guys are looking for chiropractic consulting or PT therapy, Bronstein Concierge can do it. They can actually come to you to help you out with your provide elite performance with whatever it is you do in daily life. And chiropractic specialty is their number one area of expertise. So check them out online at bronsteinconcierge.com or 805-481-1566. And I can say definitely for me that I can speak very highly of Dr. Bronstein and the crew. They've helped me out through a ton of issues in the last couple of years, and it wouldn't be where I am without them.
Well, your posture is better. You look
every
great.
Time I do that read, I have to sit up.
Yeah, you
more
have to.
Because I start
it
slumping.
It seems like you change your whole posture when you read that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that's okay. Jay Ferrier has been kind enough to be in the studio. He's still with us today. He's the head professional and director of instruction out at Avila Beach Golf Resort. A good friend of mine and a good friend of the show. He's still with us. We've been talking about golf lessons and what are they worth and should you take them? Is it too much input? It's a great topic. Is it I think it's voluntary. If you want to get better in a skill, take a lesson. I think you should learn to play the game first. Play the game. Just learn. Just go out and play it. And if you can't get it in the air, take a lesson to learn to get it in the air. If you can't hit it straight, take a lesson there. If you don't putt well, putt more.
lot more.
Putt. Just putt. Nobody putts.
So what's your guys' opinion on, because I know we get all kinds of people from all kind of walks of life. The person who comes in for a golf lesson, and you know that if you give them one thing, that might be something as simple as moving the right hand an eighth of an inch. Mm-hmm. It might be something as simple as a little putting drill.
Mm-hmm.
And they succeed in the lesson, and then you're starting to walk away, and they start faltering, and they're like, I can't do this. There must be more to this than what he just told me. What do you do with that person?
Jay? Go back and reiterate what I just told them. But
because it seems like adults always want more. That's what I'm
getting. They do.
Well, less is more.
Yeah.
I mean, like Jay was saying, and go ahead, Jay. Finish your thought.
I try to get them to understand what makes the ball do what it does. I think that then the ball becomes their coach, mm-hmm. and they're relying on my input less and less, because when that ball leaves the tee, leaves the putter head, whatever, they know why it did.
Ball
what
flight
it did.
Rules are huge. Club face awareness. You know, you hit a ball from point A to point B. I tell my kids, good golfers can hit the ball where they want it to. Basically, I mean, it's not a perfect, but you should be able to hit it the direction towards whatever you're aiming at, and somewhat the distance. If it's, actually somewhat the distance. Even if the hole is a million miles long, at least your target should be somewhere that you can get to, right?
Right.
So you should be able to hit it the distance and direction you want. Club face awareness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, if you're aware of the club face, it's like swatting a fly. Can you swat a fly, or do you miss the fly?
So we had a teaching professional, Jim Jeff Passage, just commented on Facebook. He says, most golf pros teach according to what they were taught, how they play, or their preferences and biases and what they are. What they should be teaching is what's suitable for that student that they're working with. A good golf pro should know how to teach that way, not sure they're able or willing to do so.
He's very wise, Ben. Is that Jeff you said?
Yeah, Jeff Passage.
You're very wise, Jeff. I think, that we often book on hours. I do not book a time in my lessons. I do schedule on the hour, so obviously I don't go more than an hour. But I think you can do what you got to do as an instructor in 20 to 30 minutes, but the student should stay an hour.
Right.
There's input and there's applying. But just because we walk away doesn't mean that their job is done. But they want us there the whole hour. I paid for it, man. You keep telling me stuff because, dude, I own you for this hour.
I hate that.
I have done in my later years, I have done that numerous times as well. I mean, you're up there. They've not grooved it, but they fixed what they came for.
That's why they
came. In the first 10, 15 minutes, what are you going to do?
You should high five and say, keep working on this.
Have fun.
And they're happy, but then all of a sudden they want more input, and then boom. Yeah. Joining us for one of our old, this is like old school week, man. This is like back home day. Dan Rosanna Dana, been part of the show for years and years ago. Dan, are you there?
I'm here, boys. How you doing?
Hey, Dan, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing really good. I'm actually on my way to play in the Rocco Mediate Open, which is it's a benefit for Our Lady of Perpetual Steroid Abuse High School, and I'm really looking forward to it because I love playing with Rocco.
You've been playing with Rocco a long time now, man. So
I had a question regarding instruction. Thought maybe you guys could help me out. I've always wondered, is there any kind of a machine that kind of fits around your body and can take you through a golf swing like Tiger's golf swing or a different guy's golf swing where it moves your body obviously more slowly, but so you can feel what a real swing is like?
Yes, but she was a girlfriend in the eighth grade. What? What?
Oh, you are so bad.
No.
I was almost going to go that way, but then you did it for me. So I can just say you're a bad man, Billy. Very, very bad man.
Great friend of mine. I have high respect for this person. I didn't mean anything bad by that. He just put me through the motions. Dan, is there a robotic machine? I think it was you asking. They have, you clip on all your body and it moves and you move along. I think there is.
There's the K-Vest and things like that that'll actually record how you swing, but I don't think it'll actually get you to swing.
Could you imagine? Because you could rip out tendons and pull out shoulder bones and stuff.
Well, because everybody's completely built. Everybody's built.
Here's Tiger swing. Snap!
I know. Oh, wow!
Great. Let's try the daily next. Could you imagine? I don't know.
Funny,
that is pretty funny.
That
man.
Is really
dial
funny.
That up to about 120 mile an hour club head speed.
Let's go, Let's
go. I think you could probably get that machine sponsored by your chiropractor.
Yeah, you probably could, man. So I don't know, Dave. So, Dave, have you taken lessons? Dan, I'm sorry. You taken lessons in the past?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have.
And were they a positive experience, or are these people buried in the desert somewhere?
Well, the lessons were a positive experience and the bad lessons not so much.
Okay. So.
Yeah, but, I don't know if I take him on as a client.
I don't, yeah. I, you gotta certainly not near Vegas.
You got to take the pinky ring off. No.
No pressure. Yeah. Hey, no, really, the important thing for me is when you have someone who knows what the swing should look like, looking at you and saying, you know what, you know, you're lined up wrong, or you're not square to the ball, you know, your grip is getting out. You know, it's so hard for the golfer to know when he's starting to slip and get out of a groove, and it's very helpful to have somebody say, hey, watch out for this.
Yeah, well, I don't like the negative things. You're not, you should. Those, you know, I just, to be personally, you point out the positive things and then try this. And right. Explain why this might work. But tell him somebody, oh, no, you're over the top. Oh, God, you're over the top again. Do you know? That's a hard way to teach somebody. Yeah, yeah, No. That grip, that's, oh, no. So that's just me. I don't believe in the negative.
Yeah.
And so I don't know about you. Or do you use the negative?
No, but there are times, I guess this is where I keep going back to, there are times where there are students that want to know.
Well, then you model.
And so, yeah,
right.
And that's what I do.
But I'm a visual learner.
I try to model as well, and I try to keep things very simple. And I tell that in the beginning of the interview. I keep things very simple. Once I know who they are, and who they way they learn, we keep it super simple. And it's just interesting.
So Jay, do you say you're doing this wrong?
I'm sure I have. After, of course, it's 2020 hindsight, but sure. After you say something
but
like
you,
that,
you say,
it does. You can see their whole mannerism. You can see their whole swing change when you're doing the no-no-no's.
You can say, well,
that method
doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, there's ways to say it to build their confidence. You just say no, not, because they're trying what you're hearing.
Right.
But you're like, no.
What I usually do is, if there was someone who was going over the top, what I would show them is I would show them club face awareness. I would say, The way that it's going over the top, the toe is leading, it's coming down, or this is the path that's going on. Now let's try this path. Yeah. And then when they try the other path, and all of a sudden they hit a straight shot or they hit a pin, they go, oh.
That makes sense. I never ever try to go,
don't do it this way.
Well, it's cool. I mean, and I think your instructors, I'm a big believer in ball flight rules like Jay. The outcome of the ball, it tells a lot to the instructor. Now, instructor doesn't need to relay that information to all the student. They could if they wanted to, but they know immediately if a ball does that, there's a certain reason why it does that, and you know where to look and you can explain. So cool. So, Jay, you're a ball flight guy, obviously.
Most definitely. Yeah, okay. I just don't, you know, there's a zillion different ways of hitting a golf ball. I'm not going to tell him or her that she or he are hitting it the wrong
way. I got to get this in really quick. I promised I would for women. Here, we're going to do it real quick. Women's Golf Month of June. Call the guys at Morro Bay, Dairy Creek, and Chalk Mountain. They have free golf coming to you guys the entire month of June. Call them really quick. Go to the website. Only got a few seconds, but Dairy Creek, Morro Bay, Chalk Mountain, call them. Thanks for listening,
everybody.
Keep it on course, everybody.
Have a good weekend, everybody.